Right now, today, we're going to go to the Value Voter Summit 2018. We're going to hear Dr. Ben Carson. You're going to be so encouraged. As a matter of fact, he is the Secretary of HUD, Housing, Urban, and Development, but also he is a light in the midst of government. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
A man who was with Dr. Carson and Candy himself.
Yes.
At least
yes.
two of your fingers were.
At least down. Two of my fingers, but I did speak yeah. to Candy Carson.
Well, he was running for president.
He was running for president, and I asked her, I said, Candy, what can we do for Dr. Carson? He's running for president. And without hesitation, she turned around and said, please pray for him. And I thought, wow, it's a great thing because we need prayer, you know?
It's so amazing. I know we're fixing to go to the Value Voter Summit 2018 and hear Dr. Ben Carson. He is actually the Secretary of Education over Housing and Urban Development. That's so important because that's where you're actually living in your life.
Oh, yeah.
They have Envision Centers they're launching around the nation, just so many good things. But I know specifically, how much money did he find in the budget when he did an audit when he got there? Was it like billions of dollars?
Billions of dollars that was misappropriated under Obama's administration. So one of the first things he did is ran an entire audit on the whole department.
And discovered over billions of dollars that was, it's amazing. Thank God for Dr. Ben Carson. So this is Dr. Ben Carson at the Value Voter Summit. I'm going to encourage you, if you're not registered to vote,
yes,
get registered to vote. Understand, you know, years ago, they would have to fight and have a war to determine who would be in leadership. All you have to do now is educate yourself, pray about what's going on, find the ballot before you go there, study it, mark it up, go there and vote. It's a powerful, powerful thing to do. This is Value Voter Summit 2018, and this is Dr. Ben Carson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Let's join him there.
But, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, how in the world, why would someone like you go from a wonderful, successful medical career into politics? And I frequently ask myself that too. But many of you may remember back in 2013 when I was asked to speak at the National Prayer Breakfast. And I thought it was a strange request because I had spoken at the National Prayer Breakfast in 1997. And I wasn't aware that anyone ever did it twice. But some research revealed that, in fact, there was one person who had done it twice, and that was Billy Graham. And I said, well, that's pretty good company. And so I said, I'll do it. But I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? Because I had no idea what I was supposed to talk about. And they were kept calling me and said, what are you going to talk about? Because the president needs to know. And I said, I don't know. And I really didn't know until that morning. And then it just hit me so hard. And, you know, afterwards, you know, obviously it touched a lot of people. People saying, you should run for president. And everybody was saying, you should run for president. I said, give me a break. You know, I run for president. That's ridiculous. And I said, if I just stop listening, you know, it'll go away. But it didn't go away. Every place I went, I was doing a lot of speaking. There would be people with placards, run, Ben, run. And there were more than 500,000 petitions in my office. I could barely get in the door. And so I finally said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? I said, look, I don't have all the things that people who run for president have. You know, a Rolodex with all the important contacts. And an organization, you know, I said, this is craziness. I said, if you really want me to run, you have to provide all those things. The next thing you know, I had an organization. We were raising more money than the RNC. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And, you know, the Lord obviously has a pathway. And what we have to do is be willing to go down the pathway. Even though it may not be the pathway that we had planned for ourselves. And it certainly wasn't the pathway that I thought of when I was a 9-year-old kid sitting on the ghetto stairs in Boston after my parents had gotten divorced and we'd moved from Detroit to live with relatives, having been homeless for a period of time. And I remember looking through the building across the street out of which the windows had been broken, and it was a sunbeam shining through, and it made you think about your future. And I remember thinking that I would probably not live to be 20, 25 at the most, because that's what I saw around me. Both of my older cousins who I adored had been killed. I saw people lying on the street with bullet holes. And it's just what that's what I envisioned. There was no American dream in that vision. And there's so many people who've forgotten or who don't think that the American dream is for them, who don't cherish the America that we live in. There was a governor recently who said America wasn't great, had never been great. Can you imagine that? But America is different. You know, even from our early days, there were people criticizing America. A lot of the Europeans, they looked over here and they saw the Rockefellers, the Vanderbilts, the Fords, the Kellogg's, the Carnegies, the Mellons, the people like this, and everybody else. They said, you can't run a country like that. You have to have an overarching government that receives all the funding and then equitably redistributes it. Ever hear that before? But, you know, they criticized, but they didn't really know who we were as Americans, because all of those people I just named and many others, instead of just hoarding money and passing it down from generation to generation, they built the infrastructure of our country. They built the transcontinental railroads and the seaports and the textile mills and the factories and the mechanism that created the most powerful and dynamic middle class the world has ever seen, which rapidly propelled us to the pinnacle of the economic world. In addition to that, they built schools, libraries, universities, museums, all the things that were necessary to allow the American populace to flourish and to become powerful, to become dynamic, to be hopeful, to understand that they were different and that they had a dream. And that's something that is very worthwhile for us to keep and to preserve for the next generations. But, you know, for me, as that 9-year-old kid, there was no American dream. But it was my mother, who had very little in the way of education, very little way of anything. She was the one that made the difference. She was so desperate that I should be successful, that my brother should be successful. And yet, I was a terrible student. I was the worst student you've ever seen. In fact, I was what's known as the safety net. No one had to worry about getting the lowest mark on a test as long as I was there. I was good for that. But, you know, my mother worked as a domestic, cleaning other people's houses. And from one job to the next, 2-3 jobs at a time, because she really wanted to be self-sufficient. But she was really a spy, because she was in there looking at these people. She said, what makes these people successful? And she concluded that they didn't watch a lot of TV, but they did read a lot and plan and strategize. So she came home and imposed that on me and my brother. And we were not happy campers, I got to tell you. If it were today, we would have called social services. They would have taken her away in handcuffs, you know. But back in those days, you know, parents had some rights. So, you know, we had to read these books. And as I started reading about scientists and explorers and real estate magnates and all kinds of business tycoons, and I began to understand something. And that is that the person who has the most to do with what happens to you is you. It's not somebody else. It's not the environment. And I stopped listening to all the people around me who were saying, you can't do this, and the system is stacked against you. I just put that completely out of my mind and started thinking about what could be done. And it's one of the reasons, you know, that You know, my wife and I started the Carson Scholars Fund. It's one of the reasons we put in reading rooms. We've now put in 188 reading rooms across the country in various schools. And, you know, particularly targeting Title I schools, where a lot of the kids come from homes with no books. They go to a school with no library or poorly funded library. They're not likely to become readers. A whole segment of their life is missing. That segment that allows them to understand the world outside of where they live and to develop the desire to achieve the American dream.
Although Dr. Ben Carson is a smooth talker, he's so wise, you know, in what he does and how he's a brain surgeon. If you don't want a brain surgeon to be all over the place, you want them to be focused.
Systematic.
And it's amazing. God put that particular anointing over HUD. As a matter of fact, I want to encourage you. You're seeing it right now. Make sure that you vote. Go to vfnkb.com/vote and register right there. We have a place for you to register to vote, vfnkb.com. You can see it on your screen, /vote. And as a matter of fact, you can find out voters' guides there, some people that you may be running in your area to find out how they're answering to certain values, certain issues. But the greatest thing that we could do, and this is what happened in 2016, is that the Christian conservatives turned out to vote massive numbers and shifted this country. And we got this midterm is even greater. It has greater importance that's going on. We've got to go to break. But listen, we get back from the break, we're going to join Dr. Ben Carson as he finishes up. It's so much more to be talking about in regards to the Value Voters Summit 2018. This is going to be an important week on VFN TV. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
It should come as no surprise that throughout history, past and present, the Bible has significantly impacted our culture in every sphere, including the practice of law, in this case, a famous defense attorney.
When announcing a new book featuring Abraham as a key character, Alan Dershowitz, widely known for defending high-profile and controversial cases, says Abraham is the kind of lawyer he has worked to be. A man, he says, who argued with God to spare the innocents who lived among the wicked.
Alan Dershowitz says he became interested in becoming a lawyer while reading the Bible in high school. In his classes at Harvard Law School, where he taught for over 50 years, he admits to quoting biblical sources as frequently as legal sources.
Let's begin a renewed conversation surrounding the Bible to bring together people from every sphere in its impact and influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are at the Values Voter Summit with Dr. Ben Carson. And I'm going to encourage you, just before we go back and finish, to hear what he has to say. It's pretty powerful. As you can see right here behind me, you got to register to vote. If you haven't registered to vote, register now. Your vote this midterm election as a Christian conservative who fears the Lord, who desires to have a constitution in our country, that desires to see righteous judges and righteous legislators and executive branch, and that you really care about the direction of our country. This is how you can be a part of what God's doing in history. And go to vfnkb.com/vote, and you can register right there. It'll lead you to your state, how you can go register. If you're already registered, we have voter guides there for you from various different organizations that help you ask certain questions to candidates to be able to let you know how they're thinking on these particular values. As a matter of fact, we're going to go back to the Value Voter Summit, which is all about that, as Dr. Ben Carson continues to address. Check it out.
Now, speaking of schools, yesterday I was in Puerto Rico, and I was talking to Representative Jennifer Gonzalez Colan, and she was telling me they have prayer in the schools there. Prayer in the public schools. And I said, well, how did that happen? And she said, well, you know, they said we couldn't have it, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said we couldn't have it, but we did it anyway. And she said it has had such an ameliorating effect on those young kids. It's so important. And, you know, it's also very important that we recognize that prayer and faith is an important part of who we are as a nation, and stop listening to those people who are trying to drive that away, trying to drive all the values and the principles that we grasped that made us great. You know, even things that we used to all take for granted, like a person is innocent until proven guilty. You know, what happened with that? I mean, if you really understand the big picture of what's going on, then what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh will make perfectly good sense to you. Because you see, there have been people in this country for a very long time, go all the way back to the Fabians, who have wanted to fundamentally change this country. They don't like what America is and what it represents, and they want to change us to another system. And in order to do that, there are three things that they must control. The educational system, the media, and the courts. Okay? The first two they have. The courts they thought they had, and it was snatched out from under their noses in November of 2016. So, you know, they're like wet hornets, you know, just completely lost control at that point and have gone off the deep end. And the further they get away from being able to control the courts, the more desperate they become. And now they don't see themselves as being able to control the courts for another generation. So what is left? Chaos and destruction. And, you know, it really kind of puts this all into context. And, you know, we have to start recognizing, and when I say we, I'm talking about all of us, all Americans, that we're Americans first. We're not Democrats or Republicans or what have you. And, you know, I think Jesus said it best. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln later echoed that during the days of the Civil War when we almost destroyed ourselves. And we're a very powerful nation. And it'd be very difficult for anybody to bring us down from the outside. But we can be brought down from the inside. And that is particularly the case as we throw away the values and the principles that made us into a great nation. As we start listening to the politically correct people. Political correctness is one of the most destructive enemies that this country has ever seen. Yeah. It causes good people to remain silent when they should speak out. You know, you think about what's going on right now, and the fearful part is that good people will be afraid to serve their government. They won't want to take the chance of their reputation being sullied. You know, I can really identify, first of all, sexual predators, people who prey upon people who are weaker than them or in a different, lower position, is abominable. And there's just no room for it as far as I'm concerned, okay? Having said that, we must also recognize that there are two sides to every story. And I can particularly identify with this because I remember some years ago I was operating and the phone rings in the operating room and the nurse holds the phone up to my ear and I'm told that the university lawyers are attaching my wages for child support. And I said, what? I said, I have three children, and I support them very well. And they said, no, there is a woman in Florida. She says, you are the father of her son. And she knows where you went to high school, college, medical school, internship, residency, even has a picture of you in scrubs. I said, anybody can get that. Are you kidding me? On the basis of this, a paternity suit is being filed. And I had to get my lawyer involved, and it escalated. And they said, send us a blood specimen so we can do DNA testing. And I said, are you kidding me? You people, as incompetent as you are, want me to send you a sample of my blood? It'll be at a murder scene, and I'll be in jail for the rest of my life. No way am I doing that. And it escalated a little more, and then it just fizzled out and died. You see, because they assume that somebody like myself, who's out and about all over the place, has probably been messing around. And probably doesn't even remember all the people they've been messing around with, and they would much rather just keep this quiet and pay for whatever needs to be paid. But see, I had a secret weapon. The truth. And see, I knew that the only woman I had ever slept with in my entire life was my wife. So I didn't have to scratch my head and ask. I think maybe that's the reason that the good Lord gave us some rules and some parameters. He wanted to uncomplicate our lives. It's not because he's a tyrant who wants to control. It's because he knows what works. You know, he made us. And he knows how to get the most out of us. He's not a tyrant. He's not unfair. And He provides us with the strength, the courage to move forward, to do what things have to be done, to do them the right way. He is the source of all wisdom. But we can also learn from the things that happen to us. You know, a few years ago, we were going to embark on another case of separating conjoined twins. And they were from Europe. I had done a number of cases by that time. And I started thinking, why should I do all of this work when we have the best neurosurgery department in the world? We've got neurosurgeons who are experts in neurovascular diseases, skull-based diseases, tissue. And I said, why don't we put together teams? And when we get to that part of the operation, we bring those teams in. We had 18 neurosurgeons involved. And we were literally 10 hours ahead of schedule. And you know what that tells you? It's amazing what you can do when it doesn't matter who gets the credit. And that's what we need to learn as a country. And we need to recognize the importance of those values. Not let anybody frighten us away from the principles and the values, the godly principles and values that establish this country. And we may need to make it perfectly clear that it's okay to live your life based on godly principles of loving your neighbor, of caring about your fellow man, of developing your God-given talents to the utmost so that you become valuable to the people around you, of having values and principles that govern your life.
This is so encouraging. These are leaders in our country. You think about it. Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary Betsy DeVos, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And just they had a Bible study. And even Jeff Sessions, you know, the Attorney General, and others came in, Vice President Mike Pence, and came together to have a Bible study. First one, they say, reports are in 100 years has taken place. And God is just shifting things. We have to recognize the moment of our visitation. God is showing favor on our nation. There's a reason why. And these are some of the reports are. Now we got to close out in prayer. Listen, we want to hear your comments below. Write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Share your thoughts on this. But God is obviously keeping and protecting Israel because Israel's standing up for what God is saying. And God's keeping Israel for what he wants to do. But he's also keeping America as one, a city on the hill that sends the gospel to all the nations. We're called to be able to bring light into the world as a nation. Obviously, everything is not light, but listen, if America catches a cold, other nations, if America sneezes, there's other nations that catch the flu.
That's right.
Because God has so blessed America that many nations, the whole world's being blessed right now as America's being blessed. And so there's a reason why, because God is about to bless America in such a way. 1,000 barges of anointing oil is about to be poured out over this nation, as Dutch Sheets prophesied about, because God is about to bless this nation in such a way to bless you, your nation, all around the world, because God's about to bless the whole world with an awesome move of God in a powerful way. And I just want to pray with you right now. Dear God, bless Dr. Ben Carson, God. Thank you for his righteous stand. Continue to give him wisdom. Give him that team that he needs, God. And we ask you, dear God, Lord, encourage all of your people to go out and vote, Lord. Righteous votes, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send this great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says,
every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become an have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if It's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and you're, you know, it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.